In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Our text for this Lenten series picks up right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. A text that we covered a few weeks back in kind of a quick glance. However, this time we're going to pause and look at these sections a little more thoroughly, starting in the middle. But first, we need to be reminded of what has come so far in the Sermon on the Mount. Back earlier in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus had started by redefining the world for his disciples, reorienting them, reminding them or teaching them for the first time who's in, who's out, who's blessed, who's not. And in that section, something that's worth highlighting, especially in contrast to what we look at this evening, is Jesus tells his disciples, "You are the light of the world. The world around you will see your good works, and they will praise your Father in heaven for the way that you live." And then at the very climax of Matthew chapter 5, right before our text picks up, Jesus again is talking about the very heartbeat of his message, which is, love everyone, even your enemies. And he says, why do we do this? So that we look different from everybody else. Because everyone in the world around us loves those they can get something back from. Whether it's more love, money, business, whatever it may be. What sets Jesus' disciples apart, he says, we love those who hurt us, who take advantage of us, who can give us nothing in return. And so we stick out. So then what is Jesus doing as he transitioned into our text today? Beware of doing your deeds of justice in front of others. But Jesus, you just told us we were the light of the world and everyone was going to see us. You told us to not live like the world so that we would stick out like a sore thumb. But you don't want us to do our deeds of justice to be seen? I believe what Jesus is challenging us with this Ash Wednesday is we reflect on our humble state, is that we are not to call attention to our deeds. Because if we are doing what Jesus has asked, that will call attention enough. So Jesus in this first section is challenging his people. So when you give to the poor, he says, don't trumpet it for people to see. Why? Well, frankly, you've probably known those people that I have as well. It's annoying. When they sit there and they remind you of how good they've been and the great things that they've done. But then it's beautiful to see someone like a little old lady like Mother Teresa who doesn't need to trumpet her deeds. But you see her life and you say, wow, that's pretty cool. So Jesus reminds us, you don't need to make yourself a spectacle. If you simply live what I've taught, that'll be enough. And in that text in verse 3, he says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So not only do we not trumpet it before others, we don't trumpet it to ourselves either. You don't need to remind yourself how good you've been doing what Jesus asks. Just do it and move on. And then he moves on in verse 5. He says, likewise with prayer. So when you pray, he says, you don't need to go stand out in front of everybody. You don't show them, hey, everybody, look at me. I can pray. He says instead, go lock yourself in your room and pray to your Father in secret. God knows that you are relying on him through prayer. People will know that you are relying on him through prayer just by the way you live, so you don't need to make a show about your prayer life. And he goes on in verse 7 to build on that, saying, and also, you don't need to have your prayer life be a rambling excess of words. He says God knows everything that you need already. And so I believe Jesus is actually inviting us to see prayer time as a time of solitude and quiet. And maybe we need to do more listening during our praying than speaking. And he tells us also how we need to pray. Very short phrases, calling out to our Father, hallowing his name, begging him to bring his kingdom for his will to be done right here in our midst. We beg for our daily provision. And then he goes on to the most challenging section here in Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer, where he says, forgive us our debts, for we have already forgiven our debtors. Listen to that phrasing again. Forgive us our debts to you, God, because we've already forgiven people who owe us anything. And he even goes on to say, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But the kicker, if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you. Powerful reminder that if we are not willing to participate in a life of love and forgiveness, then we are telling God we don't want any part of his love or forgiveness either. And then finally, he concludes the section by saying, so whenever you fast, don't look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show everybody, look how miserable I am. Look how much I'm sacrificing for God. Instead, he says, wash your face. Comb your hair, if you can. Put oil on your head. Don't show what you're doing. Because again, I would argue, Jesus is saying, if you're truly fasting, that will show itself already enough. Why? Well, look back at our Old Testament litany on page 3. Isaiah 58 challenges us to rethink, what is true fasting? Is it, I'm going to skip a meal so that I'm a champion for God? No, it's so much deeper. He says this, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the ropes of slavery, to share your food with the hungry, to provide the homeless with shelter, to clothe the naked, to not turn away from your own neighbors and flesh and blood. True fasting was always built on, originally, taking less for yourself so that you had more to give, more bread to give, more shelter to give, more love and clothes to give. And so again, if we're truly walking in Jesus' kind of fast, the world will see it anyways. No need to make a show and be that annoying person. And so here at Ash Wednesday, as we pause and reflect on the fact that we are but dirt, Jesus reminds us to continue to humble ourselves in our text. We came from the dirt. God breathed into us at the very beginning, and we will go back to the dirt. And so many of us have witnessed loved ones return to the earth, and it has broken our hearts in the process. But as we receive the ashes this evening, we are reminded that our God promises to make the dust live again. That even though we are just an animal made from the ground, our God has a special love for us. He has breathed his spirit into us, and our dust and ashes will live again. And so we focus on the cross this Lenten season, not needing to make a show of ourselves, but recognizing that the cross and the way that we're called to walk will be a show enough if we just walk with Jesus.